We start this week's parsha, Parshas Vayeshev, by saying, Ela toldos Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvaz Hoshana. Here are the generations, here are the descendants of Yaakov. Yosef was 17 years old. And we ask the obvious question, are there no other children of Yaakov? Why are we speaking about Yosef as the only one? In order to answer this question, we want to look at the relationship between Yosef and the upcoming Yom Tov of Chanukah. There's a Gemara in Shabbos. Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, Darash Rav Nosson Bar Manyuma Mishmei de Rabbi Tanchum. Rav Nosson Bar Manyuma brings a drasha in the name of Rabbi Tanchum, and he's speaking about the Ner of Chanukah. What happens if you light the Ner of Chanukah Lamala Me'esra Mala Amma, higher than 20 Amma? It's puzzle, just like, for example, he brings other examples, a sukkah is not allowed to be higher than 20 Ammas. Immediately following this, Va'amar Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana says, Darash Rav Nosson Bar Manyuma Mishmei de Rabbi Tanchum, exactly the same progression of the Amiraim who are speaking and in whose name they are speaking. It's Rav Kahana speaking in the name of Rav Nosson Bar Manyuma, who's speaking in the name of Rabbi Tanchum. Why does it say with the story of the sale of Yosef, Vahabar Reik Ein Boi Mayim, why does it need to say that the pit was empty, there's no water? Don't we know if the pit is empty, doesn't that mean that there's no water? Elamat Talmud Leimar Ein Boi Mayim, why does the Pasuk have to say that there's no water? Mayim Ein Boi, to teach us that yes, there's no water, but Nechashim and Akravim Yesh Boi, there are plenty of snakes and scorpions in them. The famous Rashi. So we ponder the question of what these two things have to do with each other. Now, it could be that it's because of it's the same people who are being quoted in the same order of the quotations, that they were stuck together, meaning he said, this is what Rav Kahana was speaking about, one thing that he learned, and then he's going to bring something else. But usually there's something deeper here, and we could look at it as something fundamental that connects Chanukah to Yosef. This becomes even stronger, this connection, when we look at Gematrias. Yosef is Gematria Melech Yavan, and he's also the Gematria of Antiochus, which means that in some way, Yosef must be the antidote to Yavan. We always know that there's an equal balance of Kedusha and of Tuma, and if the Tuma is Melech Yavan and Antiochus, equally balancing them is Yosef. We spoke about two weeks ago, when Yaakov went to find a wife, and he wasn't young. He's been learning for the past 60 years, and yet he spends 14 years learning in Yeshiva Shem Va'Ever. And we want to know, what was he doing there? What was he learning in the Yeshiva of Shem Va'Ever that he wasn't able to learn in all the years of Ish Tam Yoshev Ha'Alem? And the answer is that in the Yeshiva of Shem Va'Ever, he knew now he's going to the house of Lavan. He's going into Golos, and he was learning the Torah of Golos, which is a totally different Torah than one has to learn while you're living in the house of Yitzchak and Rivka. He was going to learn this new Chachma. And this is the Torah that he gives over to Yosef, the Torah that's going to allow Yosef to survive both in Potiphar's house and in Parah's house. It's a Torah that keeps us separate in Golos. And this Torah is the Torah that we needed in the time of Yavan. What is Yavan? Because Yavan had a tremendous amount of Chachma. But it's a chachma of chitzonius. It's something that looks okay on the outside. You can't really tell the difference between pure and impure oil. In Yavan, they deified external beauty and might. In ancient Sparta, they would kill anyone who wasn't perfect physically. It was all about human strength, the Olympics, sports, the deification of the human body. Even the letters of the name Yavan, Yud Vav Nun, are all straight, narrow lines. There's no pnimius. There's nothing internal. It's only the external, the exterior, which counts. And when you measure by chitonius, when you measure by the external, it is all about quantity. Small, bigger, biggest. It's easy to measure. Yud, vav, nun. And if you read it backwards, you get noi. Noi means beauty. Because there is beauty in Yavan, but it's a very shallow beauty. So Yavan comes and they direct their attacks on anything that gave the outer world inner spirituality. For example, they attacked Shabbos because Shabbos is time And yes, there's a beautiful Suda and we eat lots of good food, but of course there's so much more that's going on Shabbos. And so they want to attack anything that gives time, which is something physical and something that could be measured and counted, but Shabbos transcends time. It takes the holiness of the whole week we could find on Shabbos, and they say, don't keep Shabbos. Same by Chodesh. Chodesh infuses the year with Kedusha, with holiness. Mila takes a person, a physical body, and turns into something very holy. And they had a decree against the woman. They took marriage, which can be driven by the physical, looks, money, even family name. But we have such a deeper understanding of what marriage could be and should be. And then there's the decree against the money of the Jews, because money can also be a solely physical pursuit, or it can be held elevated to the highest level of Kedusha. Gashmius is easy to measure. It's much, much harder to measure Ruchnius. Out of the many Gzeres which are written about what the Yevanim did to the Jews, there are only two which we mention in Ma'is Tzor. Ufartzu Chaymes Migdalai, they broke down the walls of my Migdal, Vitimu Kol Hashmanim. And they were metama, they caused all the oil to become impure. Which choma did they break? Which choma did they break through? Which wall had the pirtzos in it, the breaches? There was a special little fence that went around the wall of the Azara. It was a very low wall, 10 tefachim high. This was the demarcation of until when the goyim were allowed to reach. After this wall, the goyim were not allowed to go. To get past it, the Yevanim, the Greeks, could have just jumped over it. But they didn't. They made pirtzos. They made breaches in this wall. To show, this is our philosophy. Break down the barriers. Take away the spiritual difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. After all, on the outside, we could all be the same. And so when the Maccabim came back, when the Mishpachas Chashmonaim came back and they did the Chanukah Sabbais and they fixed up the Beis HaMikdash and they had to rebuild the Heichal and the entire Mizbeach, which was a huge job, it seems like they could have easily just built another little fence around the Azara. But they didn't. They patched up the holes. And in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Chanukah didn't just have the mitzvah of menorah. There was another one in Halal Vaidah. There was another mitzvah that they had. And that was the mitzvah that when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to bow whenever you passed one of those holes, which had been fixed up. There were 13 of these breaches, which of course has its own significance. But imagine what it was like at the time of Korban Pesach, when over a million people were coming and had to bow every time they came to a pirza. Because there is a specific goal in here to remind them, we are different, we are separate, and this wall is important, and we want to and need to maintain that separation. And again, the same thing with the oil. Timu kol hashmanim means they took oil and they said, there's no difference between tamei oil and tahar oil. What's the difference? All it is the seal of the Kohen Gadol. You can't see it, you can't taste it, you can't measure the difference. And we came and we said, no, we're only going to light with tahar oil because there is a difference. There is something here that is different. It says, Medrash on the second pasuk of Bereshis, when it's talking about the creation of the world, and it says, v'choshech al p'nei tohaim, the Medrash says, choshech zu yavan. Choshech, darkness is yavan. Why? Because it says, kisvu lachem al keren hashar, write on the horns of the shar that you don't, that ein lachem chelak b'elekei Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael has no chelak in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean to write on the horns of the shar, the horns of the bull? Why dafka on the horns of this animal, the ox? And the answer is, there are many answers given to this, but one of the answers here is that Yosef is called a shar. They want us to take the koyach of Yosef and destroy it, to say that it doesn't exist anymore. Because Yosef was the one who taught us how to live in Paro's house, how to live in Potiphar's house, and to still remain separate, and to still remain different. Rav Pinka says Yavan and Tzion have the same letters, except for the tzaddik. Yavan and Tzion, we have a tzaddik. The tzaddik can take the beauty of Yavan and turn it into the kedusha of Tzion. Of course, it shouldn't come as a surprise that Yosef has the same gematria as Tzion as well. Rav Putner says one of the decrees of the Yavanim was Pashtu Yudeim al Mamoinam ba'al b'naseim, as we said before, that they wanted the daughters of Klal Yisrael. They wanted them to intermarry. The first time that we as a nation had this challenge was with Yosef, who did not succumb to Ashes Potiphar. This is a contrast and a fixing up of the bad deed of Shechem and what he did to Dinah. And of course, this is connected to Hanukkah as well. Levi said at that time and continued to say, through to the time of the Yevanim, Hakezayna ta'asah chaseinu? Are you going to take and defile our sisters? And there's a whole story about how the Hashmonaim actually started the fight when the daughter of Matisyahu was about to get married, and the gzera of Tiba'el lehegmon tchila, that first she would have to be with a Greek officer, was going to come to be. And there's an entire story told about what she did at the night of that wedding and how the brothers, the Maccabim, reacted. The continuous cry of Shevet Levi against what Shechem did to Dinah is rectified by what Yosef didn't do with Eshes Potiphar. It says that Yaakov put Dinah in a box, but she doesn't need to be in a box. She needed to know how to live in Golas. How do you make this work? And the way that it works is what we're going to see in Parshas Vayigash. When Yosef builds the settlement of Goshen, and actually the Pasuk says Goshna, which the B'nai Yisachar points out is the letters of the dreidel, Nun, Gimel, Hay, and Shin. Because the story of Yosef is the story of Yavan, and Goshna is the solution. Build yourself a settlement and stay private in Golos. You can live in Golos. We're forced to live in Golos. We're forced to live in Yavan. But make sure that there's no pirtzes in your chayma. Make sure that your wall is structured and strong and that nobody can defeat it and nobody can come through it. We can defeat a Yavan with a tzaddik, with a Yosef tzaddik. By the way, Yosef gets schar in Parshas Vayichi. We're going to see that Yaakov is going to give him an extra schar, and that's going to be the city of Shechem, which is, of course, where the story of Dinah and Shechem happened. And it's not a coincidence because, again, he was the one who was able to come and rectify this. Yavan is a challenge. Hanukkah is a challenge. And many of the Jews indeed became misyavnim. Yosef HaTzadik gave us the koyach to fight it and continues to give us the koyach to fight it today, as we still find ourselves living in a world of exterior, that the only thing that matters is what's on the outside and what it looks like and how much it costs and how much it measures. And he gives us the strength to fight what we, by all rights, really, where does that koyach come from? How do we have it? On Hanukkah, we're always reading about the parshiyos of Yosef, of the tzaddik who taught us, all of us, children of Yaakov, how to live in Golos and how to fight the Yavan back then and the Yavan that we're still fighting today.